This is Community Connect, presented by Tampa General Hospital. I'm Caitlin White, and joining me is Dr. Carol Lilly. She is the professor of pediatrics at USF, as well as the statewide medical director for the Florida Department of Health Child Protection Team. Dr. Lilly, welcome to our show. Let's start by talking about what safe sleep means. When people hear that phrase, what exactly are we talking about?
So when they hear the phrase safe sleep, they're really talking about a sleeping environment and sleeping position in which the infant is placed where they can safely breathe and sleep comfortably while decreasing the risk of sudden infant death syndrome or suffocation during the sleep process.
Now, why is safe sleep such an important topic for families and caregivers, especially in that first year of life?
So during that first year, infants are most vulnerable to sleep-related risks, which include sudden infant death syndrome and also accidental suffocation. Every year in the United States, approximately 3,500 infants die from sleep-related causes, including sudden infant death and other deaths that are not well-defined or accidental suffocation. These occur in bed, but can also occur on couches or other soft surfaces. These tragedies occur silently and during routine naps or nighttime sleep, and many families never feel that could happen to them. At Movement Children's, we see firsthand how small changes in a sleep environment can make a life-saving difference. Safe sleep isn't just a recommendation. It's a protective measure that's rooted in scientific evidence, and it is the most powerful way families can safeguard their baby's future.
Now, what would you say are the most common misconceptions about infant sleep that you've encountered in your work?
One of the biggest myths that we see from families is that babies sleep better on their stomachs. Many grandmothers will say this. Many family members have had experiences where their babies slept better on their stomachs. And while that may seem true anecdotally, the research shows that placing babies on their back significantly reduces the risk of sudden infant death syndrome. Another misconception is that people think that safe sleep is just related to night sleep. So they think it's just going to happen when the baby's in bed overnight. But it also applies to naps during the day as well. Children are just as much at risk for suffocation on a couch or that recliner or other soft surface taking a nap as they are in an adult bed.
Well, can you walk us through the ABCs of safe sleep and why each part really matters?
Absolutely. The ABCs are simple and powerful, and they are a reminder of the steps to take to secure your baby's safety during sleep. The first is the baby should be sleeping alone. Babies should sleep without pillows, blankets, toys, or any other bumpers that may obstruct their breathing. They should sleep on their back, always placing babies on their back for every nap, every night. And then they should be sleeping in a crib or an approved bassinet or plack and play with a firm mattress and a fitted sheet without any other obstructions. So A, alone, B, back, and C, crib. Each of these elements reduces risk, but together they create a safe sleep environment that supports healthy development and peace of mind.
And on top of those ABCs, how can caregivers continue to create a safe sleep environment at home, even if resources are limited?
So safe sleep doesn't have to be expensive. A firm, flat surface like a crib or a bassinet is essential. And many communities, including ours in Hillsborough County, offer support programs that provide safe sleep spaces for families in need. Avoiding soft bedding, using a wearable blanket instead of a loose blanket or cover, and keeping the sleep area clutter-free are simple, low-cost steps that can make a very large impact.
And then what role do hospitals and pediatricians play in modeling and educating about safe sleep?
Hospitals like Movement Children's Hospital and pediatricians play a critical role in modeling these practices from the day they first see the baby. We ensure that every baby in our care sleeps in a safe environment, not just because it's best practice, but because it sets the standard for families. Modeling expected behaviors in the hospital is a foundational event, and it's something we actually teach regularly to our team members, to residents, and to students. We can't expect families to follow these guidelines if we as healthcare professionals aren't consistently demonstrating them ourselves. This is why it's a top priority. We use every interaction, whether during discharge teaching, bedside conversations or community events as an opportunity to reinforce safe sleep education. Our goal is to make safe sleep second nature, both inside and outside of the walls of the hospital.
I'd love to also know, how can community members support safe sleep awareness? I'm thinking of myself, I don't have any young children, but I have a lot of friends with young babies. How can we help?
So everyone has a role to play. Grandparents, babysitters, and neighbors and volunteers can support safe sleep by learning the ABCs and sharing them with others. If you notice an unsafe sleep practice, don't be afraid to gently speak up. While it's never easy to offer what might seem assumed to be unsolicited parenting advice, that moment of courage could save a life. One way to also help is by keeping an eye on product recalls and avoiding gifts that promote unsafe sleep, like inclined sleepers or plushy crib bumpers or weighted blankets. Instead, choose baby shower items that are supportive of safe sleep, such as a wearable blanket, firm crib mattresses, books that educate new parents. It's also important to recognize that new parents are overwhelmed and sleep deprived, and exhaustion can make unsafe choices like bed sharing feel very tempting. When we do child abuse death review in the state of Florida, a large percentage of our unsafe sleep environments occur with an exhausted caregiver. By creating a supportive community around them, checking in, offering help, or even just listening, we can help these families prioritize rest without compromising infant safety. Whether you're part of a faith group, a school, a community center, consider hosting a safe sleep awareness event.
Absolutely. Now, with all of this essential information, Doctor, to wrap up our conversation, if you could share one message with every new parent, what would that be?
I think that message would be that you are not alone and your instincts to protect your baby are powerful. Safe sleep is one of the simplest, most loving things that you can do. Trust the science, lean on your care team, and know that every safe sleep choice is a step towards a healthier future. We know that the newborn phase can be overwhelming for new parents, especially when sleep is scarce and emotions run high. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, my baby only sleeps when I hold them, or just this one time won't hurt. But these moments matter. The sleepless nights are temporary, and safe sleep habits formed early can last a lifetime. You don't have to navigate this alone. Reach out, ask for help, and build a circle of support around you. Whether it's a friend dropping dinner off, or a nurse offering reassurance, or a neighbor holding space for your exhaustion, community makes safe sleep possible. You're doing something extraordinary, and every safe choice is a reflection of your love.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of these critical tips. That has been Dr. Carol Lilly. For more information, please visit tgh.org/safe sleep. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Community Connect, presented by TGH, on your favorite podcast platform. I'm Caitlin White, and this is Community Connect, presented by TGH. Thanks for listening.